Our gospel lesson is found in the gospel according to Mark, the first chapter beginning at verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. After John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Many times we have different sayings. I remember as a child, my mom had all these sayings, and I thought to myself, I'm never going to say those things to my own children when I get older. But there's this one saying that I find myself repeating quite often, whether it is to other people or to myself. And it goes, just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. It recognizes that there are times when the real question is not one of ability, but of will. For not everything we can do should be done. But when I think of God, and in terms of who God is, should and God doesn't go together. At least it doesn't seem so to me. In our humanness, we may say, well, God should do this, or God shouldn't do that. But the truth of the matter is, God is God. Therefore, God is free to do whatever, wherever, whenever, however God chooses. We may want to limit God to shoulds, but God doesn't have to answer to anyone about anything. It is with this understanding, however, that I find our passage in Genesis so fascinating. Because here we find God basically limiting God's self. God is saying in so many words, not so many words, just because I can doesn't mean that I will. In fact, I won't. Although God could flood the earth anytime he wanted to, he tells Noah and his children that he will never do that again. God limits God's self and then makes a promise with creation, a covenant with all the earth, and places a bow in the sky as a sign of that covenant. My brothers and sisters, can you imagine being omnipotent, all-powerful, and choosing to limit your own power? What is it that drives God to do that? Well, mercy. Fueled with love. Love for Noah and his family, love for the animals of the earth, love for the planet itself, love for all that was created and called good. Knowing this encourages us to turn with our whole selves to God. We realize that we don't have to be perfect to turn to God. We don't have to have all our eggs lined up in a row. We don't have to have all the answers or wait until we are sinless to turn to God. Instead, we can lift up our souls just as we are and entrust our very lives into God's hands, trusting that God will welcome and receive us. We all have a story to tell, don't we? None of us here were born yesterday. There are things in our lives that we are not proud of. I've shared one or two stories myself. However, the psalmist reminds us that God instructs sinners in the way they should go and leads the humble in what is right. God instructs sinners. Not the sinless or the perfect, but sinners in the way that is right. But how do we find that path? We find it when we willingly surrender our lives to the Lord. I'll ask a question. How many of you have a GPS? A few. I have a friend that always gets lost, even with his GPS. Do you want to know why? Or can you guess why? He doesn't listen to it. He always gets lost because he's unwilling to surrender to the fact that the GPS knows more about where he's going than he does. For him, the GPS has to reposition. You know, we used to have the old GPS that used to say repositioning. It has to reposition at least 3 or 4 times before he's willing to finally surrender and listen and obey what the GPS is telling him to do. How many times, my brothers and sisters, does God have to reposition us before we're willing to follow where the Lord is leading? What is needed from us is to come to the realization that we need the Lord, whose mercy and love for us knows no bounds. We are lost without God. By surrendering, we lift up our soul and trust the Lord with our lives so that he can teach us his ways and lead us down the right path. For Jesus will not lead us astray. Now, my sermon title is A Surrendering Life, Not a Surrendered One. Surrendering is an ongoing process. Rather than a one time and then we're done, we often come to a point in life when we realize that there is yet one more thing that we have been holding on to, one more thing that we have been carrying and we shouldn't. Many years ago, I came to the realization within myself. I was in seminary. I was growing in my walk with the Lord and loving my life in the church. I had already claimed Jesus as the Lord of my life. And then one day in prayer, I realized that God wanted me to let go of something. I'd been carrying around for a long time this unforgiveness in my heart towards someone that had been in my life many years before. And the unforgiveness that was there had become so much a part of me that I didn't even realize I was carrying it until I felt challenged to surrender it and let it go. But I put up a fight. Just because you should doesn't mean you will. Ultimately, I came to the realization that holding on to it was hurting me and preventing me from becoming the person Christ was calling me to be and stymieing me from going down the path that the Lord was leading. Surrendering is an ongoing process. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Christ calls us to come and turn our lives in his direction. Trust him and choose to live for him. He knows our struggles, our challenges, and our temptations. On this journey, my brothers and sisters, as we go closer and closer toward the cross, and we begin it by surrendering. Surrendering our all to Jesus, who loves us and died for us, that we might have life and be set free in him. Amen. Amen. God, you know our hearts. You have knitted our inmost being, and you know our deepest desires, fears, and worries. Help us to journey during this Lenten season into a new awareness of your presence in our lives, and save us from our own temptations, so that we may more freely follow you. Amen.